Lexington Law Firm.
I was trying to finance a car, and it was, they wouldn't finance the car.
One call was all it took to start back on the track to repairing her credit.
I'm telling you, it was amazing. Y'all have really changed my life. I could not have straightened this out by myself.
Don't let an inaccurate credit report hold you back. Illinois or Missouri residents, call Lexington Law at 1-833-337-2239. That's 1-833-337-2239. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. Your results will vary. Client was compensated for her time. John C. Heath, Attorney at Law, PC, DBA Lexington Law, and of Counsel Attorneys, 360 North Cutler Drive, North Salt Lake, Utah, 84054. Lance C. Martin of Counsel to Lexington Law in Illinois. Eleanor Don Hughes, licensed in Missouri.
At the Gatesworth, you set the standard for exceptional senior living. Their warm residential setting and commitment to personalized service ensure that each resident has what they need, when they need it, and the way they like it. Start with the active routine, relax, and savor each moment. Visit the Gatesworth on Facebook or schedule a personal tour on thegatesworth.com and see for yourself how the Gatesworth does senior living your way.
The First Tee of St. Louis is holding their annual Golf for Kids tournament Monday, June 11th at the prestigious Norwood Hills Country Club. Local sports legend Orlando Pace, along with other Hall of Famers, will be holding a Q&A after the round of golf, talking about their favorite stories. Frank Cusimano and myself will host this event to benefit the First Tee. They introduce golf into the lives of underprivileged kids around town. There are currently 40,000 kids participating at 63 schools. To sign your team up, visit thefirsttstlouis.org.
Hey, Doc.
Yes, Mike.
Doc Brown, he looked like Chris Stuttle.
Well, Mike Lee has been suspended, but I'll allow him to attend Knife Fest at Bernarelli Cutlery on June 7th to the 9th. Get terrific deals on pocket knives, honey knives, kitchen knives, cook's tools, small appliances, and food prep equipment. Knife Fest at Bernarelli Cutlery is the time to upgrade your kitchen game. So chop chop, Cheeky, at 1927 Marconi on the Hill, June 7th to the 9th, Bernarelli Cutlery, where there's never a dull moment.
This is on you, your goal, but you're not alone. One Nation Nutrition thinks it's a joint responsibility to get you where you want to be and how you want to look. With three St. Louis area locations to serve you, St. Peter's, O'Fallon, and Wentzville, now is the time to come together as One Nation. One Nation Nutrition.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all. On a highway or a road along a levee.
Simon, we need to print out the lyrics to this thing. Because after she says, America's the greatest land of all, I don't know the rest of the lyrics, but I think they're pretty good. I think by now you know when you hear that music, no other station plays it. We do. And when you hear it, you know it's time to check in with this man. And I can only hope he's in as good a mood as I am today. Ladies and gentlemen, the best and brightest and number one and most successful Chevrolet dealer in the United States of America, John Landoff.
They're clapping from everywhere, buddy. I'm doing great. I am doing fantastic.
Good.
Absolutely fantastic. That's what we do when we're doing great. We just go ahead and blow that call, right? You know, you might say, well, why are you blowing a duck call then?
Well, why are you blowing a duck call then?
I'm sure glad you asked that question, my friend, because it makes me feel good when I blow my duck call. That's awesome.
Well, I'll tell you what makes me feel good. We just, like 30 seconds ago, went to the door and grabbed our order of fried pickles from next door at the Kirkwood Brew House.
Oh, boy.
Fried pickles are good eating. They just are. And the other thing is, and I know that to most people this may not be a big deal because all of you already have it, but it looks like I finally have Wi-Fi at my house.
Whoa!
After 32 years of living in this house, finally, Wi-Fi. And I got my fingers crossed, but it looks like it's working great. Now, John, do you have Wi-Fi at your house? Do you have any idea what the download speed is? I'm guessing no.
I'm sorry, who is this again?
Well, you use Wi-Fi.
Hello?
You use Wi-Fi at your house.
Am I on the air?
Yeah. That's why. That's why I asked you a question.
I got a question for Frank.
Yeah.
Why do you want to put me on the money like this? You know, I mean,
I'm not putting you on the money.
I've got my cell phone in my hand. I'm actually finishing a text message to someone. You know, I'm sending out emails while I'm talking. Well, while I'm listening to you talk, I continue to work. And then you ask me, what was the question you asked me again?
Do you know the download speed of the Wi-Fi at your house? And the answer, I said, is probably no, because most people don't.
It's quick, though, because we have young Tim Lawndup back from college, and we amped up the Wi-Fi a couple of years ago because we needed more routers, because we have when they're, you know, 3 and 4 and 5 people on their, you know, either their laptops or their smartphones or their iPads, you got to have your Wi-Fi gonna be beefed up.
Well, you have access to you have access to something better than any Geek Squad. You have a son, and it could be a daughter. I have a daughter who is of the generation where something that would take you an hour to figure out, you just call him and go, "Hey, I can't get this to work." Boom, it's done. They know. I would encourage anybody to have kids, if for no other reason. When they get older, they can help you figure stuff out. They can. I think it's great. I can't count the number of times I've called my daughter and I said, "I can't get my phone to do this." And she very calmly says, "Dad, go to settings, click this, push this, and fixed. Done." And I don't know what I'd do without them. So,
you're unbelievable.
It's a pretty nice day today. A little steamy, but I think probably good for business.
It's great for business. It is great for business. We are very busy. A lot of AM and the PM crowd, God, they're great.
They are
the best. They're the best. And they just want to shake the hand that has shook the hand of the Frank O. Pignon. That's it. That's a little French I put in there. Huh?
Now, do you think we should stream this show so people can watch us do the show while we're doing it? Do you think we should do that?
Yes! Yes! Yeah. Oh, God, yes!
I'm not asking you, Randy.
Yes. Yes. Yes, because more and more and more people are streaming, and more people are not watching TV.
It's a radio show, not a TV show, so let me ask you this. Let's put it this way. How would you like for a camera to be in your office so that customers or anybody at any time could watch what you're doing in your office continuously? Yes. Just watch what you're doing. And the answer is no.
You've been in here before, and you've watched the magic take place, right? I mean, we can call it magical.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, it's just... Yeah, it would be a blast. It would probably be a hit. It would probably be funnier than HGTV, that boring program that just got cut off the air, that Fixer Upper, you know, those two Hoosiers from Waco, Texas. And I'm being sarcastic because, you know, I've watched their segment because Mimi is just fascinated with that, you know, fixing homes up, and it's a pretty cool story. This couple probably single-handedly has put Waco, Texas back on the map because it's surrounded by Dallas and Austin and then further south Houston. Nobody knows about Waco. But what's their name?
Well, they know the David Koresh. They know the bad thing about Waco, that whole David Koresh compound burning down thing.
I'm talking about that. I'm talking about Chip and Joanna Gaines, okay? Man, that's just how that show started, and they talked about with the cameras, you know, and they're supposed to try to act like there aren't cameras there, and then they showed a lot of by the outtakes, you know, when they're fumbling over their words, and it's hilarious. FixerUpper.com, I think it is, but for now, let's just talk about streaming the greatest radio show in the land.
Well, you can hear it. That's all that matters. I don't like to be looked at. We talked about this before.
You're a good-looking man.
I don't know what to do when he says that. I don't know how to react to
just
that.
Just say thank you.
Well, thank you, but it's not true. I know what good-looking guys are. I know who good... Chris Hemsworth is
ugly.
A good... George Clooney's a good-looking guy. Brad Pitt's a good-looking guy. Pierce Brosnan is a good-looking guy.
Brad Pitt is washed up. He's done, man.
Whoa, you heard it here first. Brad Pitt is washed up.
He's washed up. He's done. You know? But no, man, you're the guy. You're it. And when one of your, I don't want to tell you what to do, but one of your sponsors, you know, tells you that, you got to say, okay, well, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I just, it's uncomfortable, but thank you.
Okay, so any big plans for the Memorial Day weekend?
Yes, we head out Friday, and we will head for the lake where I've gone for almost 40 years. I love the lake, and we will get there and meet up with my daughter, whose birthday is today, and her boyfriend, and my son and his girlfriend, and my other son and his wife, and a son who's my grandson, and my wife, and maybe a friend like the rat coming over, and we're going to fry up some crappie fillets, the absolute best fish you can eat, second only to a shore lunch of walleye if you go fishing in Canada. Crappie fillets. My son obtained some from somebody who had a freezer bursting with them. And as a hunter, I'm sure you know guys who have meat and duck and whatever that they put away, and, you know, they've got plenty of it to share. So we're going to eat crappie. And we're going to throw something on the grill and watch a couple of good movies, play a little, play a little...
Bunko.
Little shuffleboard. I got a shuffleboard there. And, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
So we were in college at SMU, right?
Yep.
Years ago. It's a long time ago. This would have been 77 or 78. And we had a bunch of venison. And it was just, we had duck and venison. We would grill my roommate, Charles Benton, Mosswat III, and a bunch of other buddies. But, you know, it was getting towards the end of the year, getting to go home, right? School being done in, May after finals. And one of my best buddies, Timmy Jamail from Austin, Texas, so we had this little piece of tenderloin, all right? It's terrible, but it had freezer burn. So we're not going to eat it. We're going to throw it away. Well, Charlie had this idea. Instead of throwing it away, let's put it in Timmy Jamail's, what did he have? He had a Ford Gran Torino.
Oh.
Okay? The little two-door Gran Torino. That thing was a little rocket ship for a Ford back then. And it was like,
Starsky and Hutch car?
But it was a light medium green with a white stripe, okay? So we got under there, and I'm like, well, you know, the padding for the seat, there's a grate kind of that we can pull down. We stuck that piece of venison in there.
Oh.
And we forgot all about it. I mean, it's getting, in May, it's getting to 90-plus degrees already in Texas, right? So a couple of days later, we forgot all about it. All of a sudden, we get in this car, it's like, whoa, man, what is that smell? He's like, I got no idea. He's like, I've been going to the car wash every other day. I keep going. It goes away for a few hours, and all of a sudden, I try keeping the sunroof open, everything goes, man, it stinks. We start busting up laughing. I'm like, we got to tell you. Oh, I thought he was going to kill us. But we went ahead and grabbed that out.
Now, there may be people listening who don't know what venison is. Venison is deer meat. And I've had some venison steaks that were like, I'm not kidding, like beef tenderloin. If you marinate them and put them in a crock pot all day or something, oh my goodness, they're good.
And where did the name venison come from?
I don't know. John, I have a similar story. I have a similar story about doing something like that to somebody. We went to, years ago, to Florida to fish on the Suwannee River, where it's black water.
Way down upon the Suwannee River.
What do you mean?
Thank you, Dan. What do you mean, what?
Idiot!
What do you mean, black water?
The water looks black.
Like, it's that dark?
Yes.
Oh, black water.
And you
drift
down
the...
Dan.
Sorry. Time for a cigarette break, Dan.
Sorry, John. So what you just kind of drift this current slow down the river and you bass fish, and you have a couple of guys with you, and they tie shad onto balloons. I don't know how much you fish, John, but the balloon is your bobber. And the shad are probably 6-8 inches long. They're big shiners. They pay a dollar a piece for them. So we had a guy with us who was fishing, and the entire fishing trip, he drank all day long from a giant thermos. And we asked him what's in the thermos, and it was fruit punch and vodka and rum and just a bunch of stuff. Just so he drank it all day. One morning, we deliberately took one of those shad and left it out in the sun the day before. So the fish was really ripe and rotting.
and we put it in his thermos bottle. Mm. He never looked in the thermos bottle. He would just load it and fill it. So all day that day fishing, he's chugging from that thermos bottle. And we said, man, that sure seems like it's good. What's in there? And he said, oh, it's a fruit punch and some rum. What else is in there? He goes, oh, just, you know, that's pretty much it, fruit punch and rum. He drank it all, and when he got to the bottom, he felt something kind of rattling around it. There's no ice in there, and he opened it up, and here's that shad looking up at him, half rotted.
That's disgusting.
Now, he turned like 8 shades of green. It was...
That's awesome.
It was fun. It was fun.
Venison is the meat of a deer, and it derives from the Latin word venari, which means to hunt or pursue.
Venari. I knew we'd all do that.
Can't help yourself. It's a holiday weekend, even though it's Wednesday.
Yes, it is.
Everyone is in such a great mood. Weather's beautiful. You might say, well, it's a little hot.
It's a little hot. He said we might say that.
He did.
He was right.
40 days ago was in the 30s. 30 days ago was in the 30s. This is beautiful weather. I love it. I cannot get hot enough. I just love it. Again, when it gets warm, my hats are off. My hat is off to my great service team and the parts people and the detailers. It gets warm in the shop. We can have all the fans in the world. But, hey, thank you to the backbone, the foundation of Johnny Londop Chevrolet, the great technicians and service advisors, and my buddy Bruce Weiner, 33 years, Billy Lee, 22, 23 years. So great team we have here, Johnny Londop Chevrolet. So great deals on the cars, unbelievable. Everything's at Londop.com. Okay, great prices, great deals. Make sure, do not hesitate. I'm calling, I'm AM in the PM.
Yep.
Immediately.
Yep.
Email at Londop.com, I'm AM in the PM. And I'm telling you what, if you need immediate, LawnDopJR at LawnDop.com. Shoot me an email like many of you have, and you're just the absolute best because you, just like me, let this program make your day. Make your day, and no matter what might have gone wrong in the morning, you listen to this show, and everything's right in the world. So thank you, Frank, and the team. Even Dan, you know, you haven't giggled in like 30 seconds. I don't know why. But...
It's okay. I was looking up stuff.
Porn.
I was
you're
trying to...
Porn.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out something to use with Chad.
For the great deals for the AFPM crowd, as Dan was talking, is 314-837-1800. 314-837-1800. 24/7, 365, LawnDop.com.
All right, we will talk tomorrow. And until then, have a great evening. Open late. We'll send you a ton of business.
Thank you very much.
All right, John. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Very good. Boy, he loves that duck hunting. I've never done it. Anybody here been duck hunting? I'm guessing no.
I used to love watching Bugs Bunny argue with Daffy Duck over whether it was duck season or wabbit season.
Oh, that's right.
Or with Elmer Fudd, actually.
You know, that's not real. Those are cartoons.
No, what?
No. I've done clay pigeon shooting. That's pretty good.
That's fun, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, 22 out of 30. First time I ever fired a shotgun.
Wabbit. Yeah.
That's
duck season.
That's very good.
Wabbit season.
Duck season. So you weren't ski shooting or trap shooting. You were just pull. And they just.
Yep.
Did you do two at a time? One at a time?
No, I did the two at a time on. Was our last three goes, but the first 20 we just did one, and I know you've got to keep it about an inch or so, the barrel in between in front of the clay pigeon, then you pull the trigger and it meets up.
Did you do this in England?
Yeah, did this in England
because they're big on that over there.
They love clay pigeons.
Oh, they love to hunt too, don't they?
They're tough to eat, those clay pigeons.
All right, you know what?
Do you want me to hit that Dr. Dog's thing?
No, we actually have a quota, a maximum number of dumb things you can say. Dan hit his about 10 minutes ago. So he's in timeout for the rest of the show. Clay pigeons. They're biodegradable. It's just leave and they disintegrate. And they're usually orange. For the people don't know what we're talking about, it's a disc about 3-4 inches across.
A little bit bigger than a hockey puck, really.
A little bigger than a hockey puck, and it's so much fun. Unless you've never shot a shotgun and you're not ready for the bruise that you're going to have on your shoulder, because if you don't handle it right, it'll bruise you. All right, we have Dr. Doug Pernikoff, and I guess he's ready to go. I see him hit the theme music right now. There we go. You have a pet, you probably have a question. He probably has an answer. He's Dr. Doug Pernikoff. He's the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon and your pet's best friend. And his clinic is the Clarkson Wilson Veterinary Clinic. He's brought to you by Window World. You notice how so many things are sponsored by Window World? Boy, do we appreciate them. And you can do that when you're successful. You have money to spend to promote things that you want to promote and to give to charity. And they're extremely successful. And that's what happens when you put out a great product that's a great value. WinterWorldSt.Louis.com for more. Here are the numbers. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK, which is 855-282-8255. Pet owners, call now. Here is Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, hey, hey. Today.
Doing great, doctor. I didn't know until recently. I talked to my sons. Apparently, they were at your house like a month ago with your son Tom. I didn't know that.
I am AM in the PM.
You can't throw them off.
I love your sons. They're great people, and I love your daughter. She's amazing.
Thank you. It's her birthday today.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Will you please tell her I said happy birthday?
I will. She's 30 today. She likes you a lot. So you got a little speech, a monologue or something?
Yeah.
By the way, on my screen here, Limey, I have a phone number. Am I supposed to do something with that?
Hey, Dan, do you remember when, like, you know, you put the phone on the lines and you got to write their name in?
He changed it.
Yeah.
He changed it.
There you go, buddy.
All right. What do you got for us, Dr. Doug?
I want to talk a little bit about boarding options while traveling. Right after school graduation, a lot of families take off as soon as they can. And I thought it would be important just to give some ideas, things that we think about, but sometimes we don't think about them. Number one, what are the options typically? And I would say, first and foremost, commercial kennels. And they offer lots of services besides just kenneling. Often you can do special training while they're there, boarding, grooming. They may have pools for them to swim in and all kinds of activities, daycare kind of stuff. So, you know, the whole idea for any of these opportunities is to explore them, interview people, talk to friends who've used them, and make sure they fit for the kind of elements that you want for your pet. Veterinary clinics will sometimes board for you. Your own veterinarian would be the first one to try. Someone in your home. Some people are comfortable with that, some aren't. But a lot of people now have programs of managing pets. They'll come into the home, and they'll either come in intermittently throughout the day and check them out, or they can stay there, and that's up to you.
Doc, most of the people that my wife and I know who have pets, and I'm not kidding, this surprises me, most of the people we know have a dog sitter come, and even if they're gone a week or two, and live at the house. That's what they prefer to do, because I guess they feel the dog is more comfortable at home.
Or cat, even more importantly for the cats, because they don't, you know, they don't do well with change. But a lot of times our technicians do that for people, and you might find your veterinarian can suggest a technician. And that's nice, because then you have someone who has medical understanding as well. And then finally, if you're not going to have somebody in your home, there are places that actually take the pet into their own home. And that's kind of the reverse, but that can work very effectively as well. Again, the big point is, you need to explore those options as a pet owner, and you need to decide and interview people and talk to situations. Cost or a factor. It might be the conditions of the housing option. There are some of these commercial kennels now that establish like a room that looks like a den or something, so it looks very home-like, and they put TV on and all kinds of crazy stuff. So the principles of care required for your pets. In other words, if your pet has special needs and treatment or behaviors, you need to let them know so that people understand what's happening. And I think it's really important that you find the best situation and stay put with it. I tell people, if you're going to go to any of these facilities, try and bring your own food to avoid a change in diet, which can cause diarrhea or vomiting and stuff like that. Leave all your access numbers for you as the owner and for your veterinarian. Provide permissions for whoever that responsible person is to act in the case of a pet illness or emergency, and be sure to provide any other special instructions or concerns for your pet's care. For instance, if your pet has certain triggers that cause fear or whatever, let them know that. Or if he has certain eating habits, that's all important for the provider to know. And, of course, make sure your vaccines are up to date. And note that we always worry about kennel cough, which is a vaccine we give our pets, our dogs, and actually
only responsible to That's one chemical. Bacteria. Oh, I got it. I thought, boy, he's interrupting my discussion. Anyway, the kennel cough, again, I always tell people there are many other agents, viruses that can cause a similar syndrome. It's an irritation of the trachea or the airway. So if you say, oh my God, I vaccinated my dog and it was been within 6 months and I take it and I bring it home and it's coughing, it may not be the fault of the facility. And the bottom line is, especially for commercial kennels, you got to just realize that no matter how good the principles of the management are, it still comes down to typically a minimal wage person taking care of your pet. So that's why I think it's important to interview and visit those places and understand what the protocols are for the safety and well-being of your animals.
Aside from the idea that somebody is in your house going through your stuff when you're not there, which would you say, I mean, it's probably not fair because you have a facility, which would you say is generally the better idea?
Well, I actually like someone in the home intermittently or full stay. I think that's the best for the animal, and if you trust the people, and there are some programs that we can suggest or your own veterinarian can suggest. I know one person that's excellent. He's in his 50s, his program's legitimate, and he's bonded. So if someone's gone through the bonding process, at least you know that they're trying to represent themselves as honest as can be. Right. And there are many great commercial kennels. Our veterinary clinic's fine. It's limited to what we can do. Some don't even do it. And that's always good because, again, especially if your animal has any kind of medical history of concern, it's nice to have people that are in the know responsible for your pet.
All right. A couple quick things here. A couple days ago, it came up on this show, the question, and I think I know the answer, but we were just guessing. Are some animals homosexuals? It came up the other day.
Well, I mean,
I say yes.
Well, in the primate, I don't think they have that kind of syndrome that's well defined, but I know that in primates, and I did a lot of studies and graduate work and stuff, it's very often for dominant males in a group to, mount other young males, and it's kind of a, hey, I'm in charge here kind of mentality, and you're gonna do what I say whenever I want you to do it. So, yeah, you see it expressed, but I don't think it's the same kind of syndrome we define in humans, where there seems to be a either something that's genetically programmed, some people believe, and others believe it's all conditional, and whatever you want to believe is fine. There's no right or wrong here.
All right, one last thing. We'll get the calls. I don't remember who I was talking to recently, but somebody was telling me about his brother, and his brother's a hippie. His brother just kind of is a drifter. Picks up a few bucks when he can, washing dishes, and then goes on his way. And his brother's nickname is Monk. And I said, what, was he in a monastery? I'm not making this up. And he said, no, he only eats monkey chow. Does Purina or somebody make a monkey chow? Because he said,
oh, yeah.
It's the most fit for human consumption of any pet food, and that's all he eats.
Well, there is a product. There's both New World, which is North America, South America, Central American, and Old World, which would be Asia and African continents. And the products are different depending on which part of the world you're from. And that's because a lot of primates in the New World have sensitivities to vitamin D deficiency. So they need more, or vitamin A deficiency too. So there are products. They're usually sold by feed stores, and they're specially manufactured. That what used to be Purina, they sold off a part of their exotic diets to a company called Mazuri, M-A-Z-U-R-I. And that's one that is very well known. There are some other products that are coming out for primates, and they're very tasty. They make them banana flavored.
You sound like you've eaten them.
I have, unfortunately. Well, not unfortunately. They just look like a biscuit, a dry biscuit, but I don't know that I would use that exclusively. So is this guy kind of hanging around in trees and stuff?
Or? No, he's just a guy on a really tight budget with no money, and it's affordable, and that's what he eats. All right,
wow.
Let me give the numbers again. We'll get the calls. Tony, thank you for waiting, and everybody else, there's a line or two open. You can jump in now, because here we go. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK, which is 855-282-8255. Tony, thanks for waiting. Say hi to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hi, Dr. Doug, and also I'm AM and the PM.
Thank you, Tony.
How are you, Tony?
Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Yes.
What can I do for you?
My son has two dogs. One's his, and the other one is his wife's. And they've been, these dogs have been together for, I'm going to say, several years.
Mm-hmm.
One is a boxer,
mm-hmm.
and the other one is a puggle.
Okay.
What?
And
a puggle. It's a pug and a poodle.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Yes. And it's every now and then the boxer will just, we'll walk in the front door and the dogs will come up to greet us and they're both good dogs, but all of a sudden the boxer will just turn on that puggle and I mean pin him down and try to chew his neck off.
Okay. Hmm. Well, there's definitely a territorial jealousy thing between you or the visitors and the boxer, and he's obviously over, I don't know if it's a he or she, but it's overpowering the little puggle. So, yeah, I think, I mean, you know you have a problem, and the simplest thing is going to be to avoid that scenario. So if people know you're coming over or somebody's coming over to your house with this situation, obviously you take, you constrain one or the other, and then once you're in and settled, then you can release them. But to try and change that behavior, I mean...
What is that noise?
What is that noise?
Tony, sounds like Mike Evans drinking.
Tony, are you slurping wine? What is that?
No, I'm standing next to the road here. I pulled over to talk.
Don't get hit. Don't get hit.
No, I'm not that close to the road.
Okay.
Okay, so again, I really think it's a behavioral problem. You could try with a behavioralist or a trainer to do some options they might consider, like a collar of some sort, and people don't like to hear it, but if you use an electric collar, sometimes those can be used very, like a bark collar, those can be used for behavioral modification very effectively. They just have to be done, used correctly and in the right hands. So I would do it guided by a proper trainer. Otherwise, you just kind of, you know you've got this problem, so, you know, husbandry is most important. Okay?
Okay. Okay, well, thanks for your help.
Good luck, Tony.
Tony, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Now, okay, sorry, I'm waiting. Dan had a phone number up. I can't go by a number. Now he has a name, and the name is Steve. Steve, say hello to Dr. Doug.
Steve?
That's you, Steve.
Oh, I didn't think it would be that quick. Normally, I have a little bit of a hold time.
Nah, we're working on that. We're trying to get quicker. What do you got for Dr. Doug?
Well, I have just recently moved a couple of animals out of my house.
Whoa. What is that noise? What am I hearing in the background there?
That's my really loud car revving.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I had a roommate who had a cat, and my cat has had quite a few other cat companions over a course of maybe 10 years.
Okay.
After they've all been moved out now, because I had to get rid of them, the tenants, my cat seems to be not necessarily lonely, but
horny?
more expectant, more like the food wasn't there when I asked you for it. Is there any way that I can kind of calm or smooth things over now that
he's so you're saying that the alone cat with me again? The cat seems to be acting kind of agitated and more, less, resistant to, patterns. The cat wants certain things and it reacts to it. It starts talking to you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he's getting louder. When I do pet him, it's only for a short while and then he just runs away again.
Yeah. So, other than getting another cat, which you don't want to do, obviously. There are some products that you might use in a transition period until the cat gets used to being alone again. And one of them is a nutraceutical that some vets carry. It's called Zilkeen. We've mentioned it before.
That's what I was thinking.
And there are other pharmacological products that could be useful. And then finally, if you have time, if you can dedicate some time to start playing and getting some special toys, they love those little things that, like on the end of a wand that swing around, anything that gets some activity and interaction might be helpful as well. But I really think that's, you know, they don't like change, and even change that's probably to their benefit. If they get rid of cats that they felt they were competing with, it's still a change. So I think your time, commitment, and then possibly using, talk to your vet about some kind of, not necessarily a sedative, but something that could be more calming for the cat. And over the couple, maybe a transition period of 3 to 4 weeks might be all you need to do. And give that a try, okay?
Right. I do play with him quite often. I give him plenty of attention, but his mood has obviously shifted from our normal interaction to just...
Right.
Not necessarily lethargic, but...
The other thing you could do is do what they do in South Korea, make a casserole out of him. They do that over there.
Do you...
casserole?
Casserole, very good. Very good. Steve.
I think it wouldn't be a bad idea just to make sure everything's okay because of the stress and the changes. Have your vet just do a good physical exam and make sure there isn't any underlying condition. And then if everything's good, you can talk to him at the same time about some of these practices that we just mentioned. Okay?
We got to scoot. Steve, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening, too. We'll work Mike in here, and that'll be it. Then we got to move on. But Mike, say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hey, Dr. Doug.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm AM in the PM. That's the best way to be.
Frank
got me thinking, and I'm just curious. Do animals get Down syndrome, or do they get any of those kind of things like that humans get?
I think that's a great question.
Yeah, they can have malformations that are going to affect their brain and stuff like that, much like a Down syndrome. I can't tell you that I've ever seen. Just recently, I was at a chimp sanctuary in Florida, and honest to God, they have what you would call a Down syndrome chimp that they've kept alive, and it does great, and it's just sweet as can be, but it's definitely been diagnosed as having some kind of neurological deficit like a Down syndrome. I don't know if it's actually the same condition, but they can. And I haven't seen it notably in dogs or cats, but we do occasionally get something that's malformed. The problem is if they do have issues, often they don't make it to a survivable age. People decide, I'm not going to pursue this, and they put them down. So we don't get to see them in clinical practice. Okay?
I got you. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Thanks for the question.
Actually, that is a good question, because there's no way animals don't have some chromosomal issues, and they're born with...
I've seen a pit bull with dwarfism.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole new area of science and veterinary medicine regarding chromosomal abnormalities, and they focus for some reason, I think, because cat breeders have demonstrated a lot of changes and stuff, and they've demonstrated a lot of work in the cat species, but it's broadening and it's getting more interesting in the dogs as well.
All right, we're out of here. Next week, same
thank
time.
You very much.
Thank you, Dr. Doug Pernikoff, everybody. Well. Thank you, Doctor. Brought to you by, you guessed it, WindowWorldSt. Louis.com. If you'd like to read and find out more about why this is the number one selling replacement window in the United States. I think I have a little bit of business to do, and then we're going to do traffic. Is that right? Let me take care of this. Had a wonderful discussion with Mark Reardon this morning about my stuff, some of the stuff that he has. I cannot get or begin to get specific. It's weird. It's hard to explain. They have a lot of regulations and rules about what you can say and what you can't say. What I can say is this: nothing about personally my relationship or what I do for them, with them, or what they do for me. But I can tell you this: that if you are, and I think this probably takes in a lot of people listening, those of you who are changing jobs or retiring. That's probably a significant number of people.
And I don't know how often the average person changes jobs. What do you think in a lifetime from like 21 to 60? We think people change like jobs like five times?
Yeah, I'd say five or six times.
Ooh, I know people that are way higher than that.
I know people that have two jobs.
I've had eight.
Yeah.
Since I was 21.
So the average is five or six. And when you change, unless the job you're coming from didn't offer any kind of retirement plan, if you have a 401k plan or something similar, you should have some questions like, do I cash out or do I do a direct rollover to an IRA? Do I pay tax on this money? What are the penalties? Am I entitled to some sort of special favorable tax treatment? And what's the growth potential of the money? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to consider talking to Mark Reardon and Jason Becker. You can find out their number and a whole lot more at markandjason.com. They are financial advisors with Stifel, member of the SIPC and the NYSC. So take a look, go to the website, see what they do. The number is there. Set up a complimentary second opinion. Now, I say second opinion assuming that you have a financial advisor. Maybe you don't. All the more reason to call them. But if you do, a second opinion can never hurt, especially from these guys. And again, for their phone number and more, go to the website. You're going to hear Dan Levi Strauss mentioned here in just a little bit, and that is markandjason.com.
And it's time for a check on traffic with Tori Lyons.
Traffic's brought to you by Discover Student Loans. Traffic jams westbound 44, 55 to Shrewsbury. Pocket southbound 55, the Poplar Street Bridge, all the way out to Rivas Barracks. Your solid westbound 64, Jefferson to Big Bend. Volume westbound 70, the Poplar Street Bridge to Lucas and Hunt, and 170 to Lindbergh. And eastbound 64 heavy and eastbound 70 into the Poplar Street Bridge. Figuring out how to cover college costs? Discover Student Loans, one of the top private student loan lenders in the country. Great rate, zero fees, plus students earn a cash reward for good grades. Visit discoverstudentloans.com to apply today. I'm Tori Lyons, reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
Oh, hey, this is Tom from Salt and Smoke. Is Pauly Shore ever eaten at your restaurant?
No.
Ew.
No. Oh, God, no. No.
Oh, okay. Well, has he ever eaten at your restaurant twice?
Excuse me.
It's so embarrassing. Salt and Smoke. Now, featuring the Hamptons.
Hey, Doug.
Yes, Mike.
Doug Brown, he looked like Twister.
Well, Mike Lee has been suspended, but I'll allow him to attend Knife Fest at Bernarelli Cutlery on June 7th to the 9th. Get terrific deals on pocket knives, honey knives, kitchen knives, cook's tools, small appliances, and food prep equipment. Knife Fest at Bernarelli Cutlery is the time to upgrade your kitchen game. So chop chop, Cheeky, at 1927 Marconi on the Hill, June 7th to the 9th, Bernarelli Cutlery, where there's never a dull moment.
In some cases, being older can be a disadvantage, but not when it comes to experience and helping you with your lumber and hardware. Since 1946, Nordenburn's Lumber and Hardware Company has provided the metro area with high-quality products and personalized service. A proud family-owned union shop, Nordenburn's newly renovated showroom is located just south of beautiful St. Louis at 10500 Teshire Drive. From changing out a light switch to a whole house from the foundation up, Nordenburn's has the products to get the job done. The hometown professional staff at Nordenburn's is ready to help with current trends or matching a historical custom piece to complete all of your finishes. To go with over 100 molding profiles and finish grade boards, Nordenburn's recently added rough hardwoods in walnut, maple, oak, hickory, ash, and cherry. The specialized service at Nordenburn's allows them to promptly special order items, not stock, to complete your project on time and correctly. So call 314-843-0700 or come down to Nordenburn's Lumber and Hardware at 10500 Teshire Drive in St. Louis, where their friendly, experienced staff is waiting to help you. Go Cards!
Hi, this is Tim Woodburn. My firm, Gateway Investigations, has been in business in St. Louis for over 10 years. We use modern GPS technology to find people or to figure out what they're doing when you're not around. Call me, 238-1367, or email me, tim@gatewaypi.net.
I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, Lafayette.
Yes, he's off the road and back in the studio. Larry, we're on the air, for goodness sake.
Good.
The door, he opens the door, walks in. The guy's a broadcaster for 65 years.
The door was open.
He's you know why he's in here? He's telling me how much he could criticize my grammar and content as he's interrupting your show.
I was listening to your newscast. You say I don't.
Larry.
I do.
Julius, Julius Hunter wouldn't do it.
Hey, Larry.
Julius Hunter wouldn't do it.
This program now suspended.
Well, he's no Karen Foss.
Wow.
Hey,
you think that's funny?
Yes, I do. Yeah. Well, Bill, you don't have any time. Thank you, Larry Connor.
I'm going to sit in on his show.
Actually, you do. You have 5 minutes. Let me introduce you quickly. Ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States, please say hello to the man who's taken time to get off the road for a few minutes to come back in the studio, the one, the only, Bill Clavlon.
Hey, thanks so much. Just rolled back into town about, 1 o'clock this afternoon. Had a really interesting road trip for a handful of reasons, but the main sort of objective of this past road trip was to check out quirky, kind of fun, unique, interesting places to stay. So I went to 4 different places. 3 were in Iowa. 1 was just north of Quincy.
You love that button, don't you?
You taught me to play this a lot.
I didn't teach you. When we
first started here, you were like, Trevor, I don't think I like you that much.
Hey, that's called an amazed gasp. Like, whoa, I didn't know
that. Yeah, you taught me to play it a lot.
No, I did not. I never said play it.
You did.
All right, here. Rule number 7. Don't argue with me on the air. I didn't tell you to play it a lot. Play it when it's appropriate. If somebody says, "Hey, I just took a dump,"
I never say that, but like, you know, when Bill is like, "Ooh, hey, I hung out with a friend last night."
No, that's not. I hung out with a friend is not amazing.
It's pretty amazing considering that Bill has a friend.
Bill, can you go on the playhouse?
I think you should.
Seriously,
yeah,
no, seriously, you're gonna have to go on the playhouse because we have to take a teaching moment here. There are certain sounds, like that, dum, 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 dum. That's a police sound.
That is a police sound.
It's not a cross-walking, it's not a accountant story. You don't play that. And you don't play that, because that doesn't make any sense right now.
That's your career.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, if you keep playing hoo-ah for everything, it is your career. That's for something astonishing.
Right.
I'll give you an example. And Bill managed to stay awake for 79 hours straight.
Ooh.
Yeah, see, that's
yeah,
cool.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah, but not, I just got off the road. Ooh,
I've never done it for that. I've only ever done it when, like, Tim is like, hey, I'm going to have dinner with a friend.
But that's not...
Or you're like, you know, oh, hey, my wife also has a friend.
But those are examples of when you don't play.
But it sounds hilarious.
No, it doesn't.
No. I think my sarcasm is conveyed.
You British people don't have the same sense of humor we do.
You should just shut that key lime pie hole yapper right now and just let Frank have his way.
Amaze and astonishment is just that, something that's astonishing. Ooh, traffic was really heavy coming in. Ooh! what is that? Now you have ruined Bill's. And I can tell Bill prepares, and he is like, it's a timing thing. He was set, he was ready, and now it's like being at the starting, ready, on your mark, get set. What? Oh, hold on, everybody. Oh, and then you're all ready to run.
Like a rain delay when you're getting ready to pitch in the World Series or something.
Now he has to regroup, and he has to, you know, get himself all fired up again, because we only have a minute and 45 seconds.
Isn't Bill Clavlon supposed to be funny?
No, not now. He used to be. No, lady. He
20 years ago.
He tried years ago didn't work out. Nope. He wasn't funny. So he decided to do this, and this is very successful when we get to it.
No, hon, he sleeps in tree houses and grain silos. He ain't funny.
That's not funny. It's interesting, and it's informative, and I have to tell you, you guys can make fun of Bill all you want to. He's my friend. Okay?
Oh.
Yeah. Now, see, that requires...
Could have played the amazed one for that.
Who knew Frank had a friend? Blimey.
Now I would agree. I would agree. That deserves it because I have, like, 2 friends in the whole world.
I think they're friends.
So, this is what they call Phil. Not a guy's name, Phil, but F-I-L-L. You Phil, waiting, looking at the clock. It's like when you're in school, and school gets out at 3 o'clock, and it's 2:40, and you just sit in class staring, come on, come on. That's what we're doing. We're waiting for 5 o'clock. So let me tell you what happens at 5 o'clock, which is now only 20 seconds away. At 5 o'clock, Tim Woodburn's going to have the news. I'm going to play a couple of...
I just filled my pants.
Man, don't...
Does Phil have no arms and no legs?
Bring Larry Connors back in.
I agree. Let's start his show at 5 o'clock, which is now 4 seconds.